Well, I'm going to talk to you some more about the wonderful, glorious, beautiful Catholic Church. She looks like a beautiful bride, you know. Well, I don't know who would really call her beautiful. She's very tainted. I saw a picture of a lady that had, you know, fangs implanted in her teeth. Have you seen her? She has tattoos all over her body. My heart broke when I saw her. She has, well, she just looks like something from the other world. It's terrible what the devil has done to her mind. Where is the one about the Egyptian? Thank you. This is the one I pulled out. Oh, that's it. Okay. Oh, yeah, I could have read right across there. Thanks. But she kind of reminds me of the Catholic Church. Not Carol. She has a beautiful, pure heart. But this other lady I was talking about, I mean, inside, that's what the Catholic Church looks like. It, you know, it's so beautiful in ceremony, isn't it? Designed to be that way, to capture the imagination. I don't know how long ago it was. And I don't see Chuck, so I can't ask him. But I think maybe a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, the Lord began to speak to me more comprehensively about the Catholic Church, giving me visions and even dreams, showing me like the guts of the Catholic Church. And one of the things that he showed me is that the Mass is an Egyptian worship ritual. So when you see the Mass taking place, just know that that's straight out of Egyptian ritual. And everyone who is partaking of the biscuit, the wine, is partaking of the evil spirit. In fact, years ago when the Lord first started talking to me about and I'm standing face to face with Allegati, but in that particular visit the Lord did not allow him to see me. I only saw him. And so as I'm standing there looking at him, the Lord tells me his name, Allegati, and several more things about him. This is the reigning monarch over the Catholic, worldwide Catholic Church. When a baby is born and taken to baby baptism in the Catholic Church, that baby is actually baptized into Allegati. So from the infancy, you know how the Bible tells us that Israel was baptized into what? Moses. In that same respect, infant baptism in the Catholic Church baptizes that baby into Allegati. So forever, the spirit of compromise. If that isn't bad enough, they have black masses in the Vatican. This is true. I have read so many accounts of this that you can no longer doubt it. And one of those black masses were actually done being coordinated with a black mass that was committed here in, was it North Carolina, Chuck? South Carolina? In South Carolina, we actually went to that church, Fred and Dennis and Janelle and I went to that whatever they call the Catholic churches, went to it where the black mass occurred. They killed an animal and they raped a child over and over and over and over again. And this black mass was being committed at the same time that it was being committed. Was it under St. Peter's? St. Peter's, what's the next word that goes with that? St. Peter's what? Pardon me? Basilica. St. Peter's Basilica. Under that, the black mass was taking place at the same time. So we went to the place in South Carolina so that we could break that stronghold over America. This happened in, I think it was 1957, somewhere around there. So the Catholic Church has never been good, although there are some things that it does that are very good. They certainly take care of the poor in Italy and Sicily. I mean, it is amazing. All you have to do is let them know you need help, and they're right there. As someone mentioned to me earlier about the particular Catholic priest that is leading the fight against abortion. Of course, that's very good work, isn't it? The church can do good works, but that doesn't mean it's good. And, you know, it's just like the Freemasons and all of their good works to cover up what they really are inside. So we can't look at what they do to determine what they are. Because inside, well, may I just share an experience that I had? When I went to the Vatican, I've traveled to Italy many times. I used to go several times a year, actually, to Israel and to Italy. And when I asked my my gals there if I could go to the Vatican, they took me. So we went through the Vatican, and I was horrified. I can't believe the amount of money that has been spent to beautify that place. Statues, sculptures, art. I mean, it is sickening. It is heartbreaking how much money is wrapped up in that building. The presence there is a false holiness. Only probably the most discerning could really know that it wasn't true. If you weren't born again, you certainly wouldn't know. You'd think it was real. We went through as much of the Vatican as they would let us go through. And when I came out, The fire of God, I mean, I stepped one step out of that building and the fire of God came down upon me so much that within 10 seconds I couldn't speak English. I could not see. I didn't know where I was going. I had one of the people that was with me, a young man by the name of David White, a long, long time friend, has known me for many, many years, so he knows when that kind of presence comes upon me that I'm going to need help for a while. So I couldn't see, I couldn't speak English. Every time I tried to talk, all that would come out was tongues. I was burning from the inside out with the fire of God. I was in so much pain from the intensity of the fire that had been placed in me that I just was beside myself. David had to take my hand and lead me many, many blocks to the subway or whatever they call it. I can't remember what they call it because I couldn't see. I'm sitting on this kind of bus-type apparatus, train-type apparatus, and I'm asking the Lord, why are you doing this? What did you just do to me? He said, don't ever go to the Vatican again unless I send you. I have just simply burned off the corruption of that place from your body. And at that moment, I realized that I had been in Satan's sanctuary here on earth. And it deeply touched the heart of the Lord that I would go into a place like that without him sending me. That's how God sees the Vatican. That's how he sees the Catholic Church. So, Egyptian worship. May I just read a few things? There is a book that all occultists know, not all have read, but they know of the book, I can promise you. And that is called The Book of the Dead. Have you ever heard of it? All occultists know it, but not all will read it because it is so dark that it's fearful to a lot of people. And the Book of the Dead came out of Egyptian worship. Now we're still talking about the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church imbibes, although they won't tell you that, Egyptian worship. The Jesuits, every spiritual thing they do is steeped in Egyptian worship. And much more. But the foundation of their worship is Egyptian worship. So we have the Book of the Dead. Let me just run through some things quickly. Which entails the drinking of blood, cannibalism, that is the eating of the intestines, torture chambers, the worship of the crusher of bones, washing in blood, killing animals, and it says King Unas eats hearts. So I can quite imagine that they do too. The scalping of people. Just pure murder and dismemberment. Cutting victims' throats. Oh, some of this is so terrible. You know, if you know anything about a lot of occultic worship, they kill babies, they kill innocent children. And in many cases, they do it because they believe that they will have a better quality of life from the life that they've just taken. High holy days, they either want the purity of a child to kill, or they want a Christian, particularly a Christian minister. So, you know, this isn't just Egyptian worship. This is pretty widespread. The ritual fire is started with the thighs of a woman, hacking in pieces of the firstborn. Sexual perversions of every kind. The eating of dead bodies. Well, there are many other things here as well. So this is Egyptian worship and much more, but it's also what is at the foundation of Catholicism. Now, I know for some that is very hard to take. You may never have been Catholic, but you had no idea that this kind of stuff went on. I can't remember. One man said that in order to commit a black mass in witchcraft, you have to be you have to be a Catholic priest. Now, isn't that interesting? He knew that because he, before he got saved, was involved with that kind of stuff. You know, the Black Mass is about the darkest that you can do, and in order to perform it, you have to be a Catholic priest. So Catholicism, its bones is about as evil as they can be. The inside of that creature is about as evil as it can be. In 2000, what did they have? The world something that occurred in the year 2000. And in that extravaganza, there were people, you know, Catholics that came in from all over the world. And off into a quiet place, a place that was isolated so that it couldn't be seen, you have the Pope sitting on a throne with the inverted cross. And around him is a circle of cardinals laying on their face, worshiping the Pope. Around this first circle is a larger circle of cardinals laying on their face, worshiping the Pope. And if you didn't worship the Pope in this ceremony, you were removed from your position as a cardinal. So there was a cardinal who wouldn't do it. They didn't have to remove him. He said, if this is what this is made out of, I'm not staying here. And he left. But there are many Jesuits, there are many people who have gone deep into the Catholic order, and when they come out, they tell the truth. And the truths that they share are frightening. So we have a situation. Am I boring you yet? We have a situation where the Catholic Church has enough power to do a lot of things, but it does not yet have enough power to do all that it wants to do. And something that we're going to take care of in this meeting, not in this particular meeting, but in this conference, is a spirit that watches over the mysteries, the hidden mysteries that the Catholic Church needs to fulfill its world plan. So we're going to spend time on our faces, repenting, purifying our heart, really cleansing ourselves, so that we can deal with the issues that God wants dealt with, to break that stronghold over this nation. The same spirit obscures the sun so that he cannot be readily seen, so that he cannot be readily recognized, so that even for those who know him, who have accepted him as their Savior, the powers of compromise are strong. And he helps in that. He has the power within himself to stop revival from overtaking America. I would say that's pretty strong. But God does not want to see him win. So he's waited all this time, 13 years, in the work that we're doing, to bring his reign to an end. I want you to understand tonight, when we go into intercession regarding the Catholic Church, that this, I can remember one of the times that I went to Israel, I stayed in what they call a Catholic hotel. It's a hotel that the Catholic Church has built for Catholic travelers. And so you find them all over Italy. They're always very clean. The nuns take care of you beautifully. It's really a rather refreshing place to stay. The first time I stayed there, the Lord woke me up to a vision. And in the vision, I saw the most hideous, frightening facility I've ever seen in my life. It looked like something only the devil could live in. And the bells were ringing. And I said to the Lord, "What is this? What does this mean? What am I looking at?" And he said, "It's the Catholic Church. And the bells ringing signify for whom the bells toll. There is an end coming to certain things. I want you to pray." So I prayed. I spent all day in fasting and prayer over the Catholic Church right there in this lovely little hotel. And the Lord gave me a vision. And I saw Italy sinking down into the ocean. And I was startled, and I said, "Lord, why? Why? Why is Italy sinking?" And then I saw blood pouring out of Rome. And it kept gushing and gushing and gushing and gushing until it filled all the earth. And I said, "Lord, I recognize what this means, the killing of the innocent. This is the shedding of innocent blood. And it is so great all over the earth that Italy is about to be sunk under the sea because of the Catholic Church. This institution is horrific. It is evil to the core. I don't want you to see anything in it that is beautiful. Even the servicing of the poor and fighting for the unborn. They kill the unborn. If their priests get their nuns pregnant, they do abortions. So the very thing that they claim to be fighting, they themselves practice. They're brutal. They're violent in their treatment of those who, you know, their nuns and their priests. Someone said, "Well, why is all of this child child sexual addictions. Why is all this coming out in the Catholic Church? Well, because, you know, a lot of these priests go through terrible rituals to become priests. It isn't just because they're not married. It's because things have happened to them. And this is what they do because of it. I want you to understand it is purely evil. There is no good thing in it except people who are deceived. Amen? Is that what they say in the African church? For although they hold a form of piety, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them. God is not pleased with the Catholic Church. His desire is to send a great hindering force into that institution so that he can perfect and perform certain things throughout the world. Millions of Catholics are going to get saved. Millions. Amen. I've seen it. God in his mercy, isn't he merciful? He saved you and me, and he's going to do that. He's going right into the heart of it, and he's going to bring the people out. And I think that is amazing and wonderful. Okay, so what are we going to pray about tonight? We're going to pray about the things that we prayed about this morning, and we're going to pray about what I've just shared with you. That is the occultic side of the Catholic Church. We've given you the privilege of participating in prophetic intercession. And we will be doing more of that before our time together is over. I've also talked to you about identificational repentance, and we have done that together. What I'm trying to do is to help you do what you need to do to pray so that God can do what he can do. Praying the scripture. When I go to Israel, I just open the Bible and I pray scripture. And I pray scripture day in and day out. I pray scripture about the history of Israel. I pray scripture. Sometimes the scripture is so much in me by the time I'm there the third day that I am praying scripture I don't even remember. And then the Lord will show me the scripture. And he lets me experience the scripture. That's when you become prayer. That's a very high level of prayer. But the very first time I went to Israel, he came and got me at midnight and took me up into the heavens, and he taught me how to pray over nations. He just said to me, I'm going to show you how to pray over the nations. First and foremost, Israel. Thank you for coming. And he would quote a scripture right out of the Bible, right out of one of the prophets, and then he would bow before the Father, and he would begin to weep over the word, praying the scripture. It's not just, you know, like the word of faith people do. I mean, there's good in this too. I'm not condemning it. But they will pray scripture of blessings and, you know, and scriptures about wealth and favor and all this and that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. I do it too. But this is different. This is when you enter so deep into the very life of the Word in your prayer that you become it. You experience it. You're taken out of yourself and you become the prayer. I can't tell you how much of the history of my people I have discovered in these times where I have become prayer through praying the scripture. I'm no longer in this world. I'm in, you know, standing so many thousands of years ago before the face of Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. Now, that may offend some of you, but please don't be offended. Please don't be offended. It's a very high place of prayer, and the Lord is not afraid of that kind of thing. In fact, he never told us that we could not see or talk to the saints that have gone on. If he orchestrates it, now if you start talking, you know, like the Catholics, mea culpa, let me pray to Mary and Paul and David and all that stuff, that's, you're going to get yourself in trouble. But when the Spirit of the Lord takes you and stands you before the saints that have gone on, well, we saw him do that with John in the book of Revelation. We saw him do that with Jesus. And in fact, Jesus himself said that God is the God of the living. And who is it we are commanded not to talk to? The dead. So this is not something to be afraid of if the Lord is orchestrating it. So that's what happens, you know, when you start praying into the, when you start maintaining a deep enough prayer life that God can purify you enough to take you into these kinds of experiences, he will, because it is so powerful. It accomplishes so great a thing for his kingdom. Amen. So as we're praying together, if you, the Lord quickens scripture for you to pray, pray it. If he quickens scripture for you to weep over, weep over it. If you're wailing, if you're weeping, if you're groaning, if you're travailing, these are all good things. And I want you to know, you do not have to talk when this kind of intercession comes upon you, because the Spirit is praying through you. You don't know how to pray. That's what the Bible says. You don't know how to pray worthily as you ought. So you don't have to worry about, okay, I'm groaning, but what words should I be saying? Don't worry about that. Don't even worry about it. Just groan. If you're weeping, what am I weeping over? What should I pray? What words do I need to say to go with these tears? Nothing. The Spirit of the Lord is doing it through you. These are higher levels of prayer, much more effectual than the lower levels of prayer. So don't try to get in the way. Just flow with it. Flow with the weeping, flow with the groaning, flow with the travail, flow with the moaning. Pray in the Spirit. Pray the Scripture. All of these things. And that's what I'm trying to help you do while we're together, so that you can take what you learn here home. I'm also telling you what needs to be prayed over and how it needs to be prayed, so that you can experience it and remember it, take it home, and begin to pray in that way for this nation. Amen? Amen? Okay. Let's all get into our positions.